Dog Works Radio Network presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from the KVRF 89.5 FM studios in the Matsu Valley. It is about 40 degrees and raining here in Alaska, and I know all of our mushing fans, especially on the East Coast, are thinking, how is that possible? Up in Alaska, they're supposed to have as much snow as we have in Buffalo, but that is not the case. We are still relatively dry with not a bit of the white stuff, at least within the next 100, 150 miles of here. So it's interesting how things are going to work out with the upcoming races. I know the Connect 200 has posted on their Facebook page that they're thinking about alternate dates already. If there is not enough snow, they will move it to the last weekend in January. Hopefully that doesn't conflict with too many other races as we move forward. But we'll make sure that we give out any information that we have as we head into the mushing season. On tonight's show, we have Colby Briggs. He's calling in from Raymond, Maine, way up north in the lower 48 there. It's about an hour from Augusta and Portland. So for folks that don't know their New England territories or their New England states much, at least you know where Colby is calling in from. He is the founder and assignment research and promotion person at the brand new online magazine called The Sled Dogger. I know it was just released this past week, and I am also a writer for that magazine, and I had no idea what to expect when it came out. It was amazing, and we're going to get into talking to Colby about that in just a little bit. He is also a musher, and from my understanding, he's supposed to be heading up this way to do some mushing in Alaska this winter as well. Colby, how's it going?
It is going great. How are you?
I am well, thank you. We mentioned off air there about the weather in Maine. You guys don't have a lot of snow in your area, do you?
We don't have any. There's a little bit of crusty ice still stuck in the ditches, but that's about it.
So I've been to Maine several times. As a matter of fact, I was born there, but my mom and dad moved when I was about 6 months old. But there is some mushing territory up there, isn't there? I know that there's a race or two that is of little, pretty much significant in terms of mid-distance, not anything in terms of, you know, what most people would think about in terms of, oh, that's the big race in New England. Or am I mistaken?
Well, there's the Can-Am in Fort Kent, which is the only Iditarod qualifier race we have here in the state. And that is a pretty big race that gets people from probably all over the world.
I forgot about the Can-Am. I apologize. I'm not up to on my notes. So, yes, the Can-Am 250 is a very big race, and yeah, we want to make sure that we promote that as well. So before we get into this new Sled Dogger magazine, anybody that knows anything about mushing, I am sure has seen it on it's all over Facebook, and people are commenting on it and talking about it and, of course, writing in it. But that's your brainchild. That's your baby, isn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of funny how it started. It all started as a joke, standing in my kennel and talking to the publisher, Bob Donovan, which I'm sure you've talked to many times. And it went from a joke one day to a Facebook page and a website and a domain name the next.
And it's rocking and rolling. As I mentioned here a few minutes ago, the first issue dropped this past weekend, and it is available online. We'll make sure that we post a link to that here on the show page. But it was a lot of work for you and Bob in the last couple of weeks. What an amazing magazine! I had no idea what to expect when I went into
Thank
it.
You.
I thought it'd just like a blog page with a kind of a group of interviews here and there. But it's nothing like that, is it?
No, the first issue was very big, and we're going to try to keep them down to, you know, like 100, 125 pages after the debut. But we had a lot of stories and features to fit into that one, so it came out really big.
And, of course, you guys are stepping into the mushing world up here in Alaska. I know that you guys are a sponsor for the Copper Basin 300. what they call the toughest 300 miles in Alaska, which is coming up, if we do have snow, on January 9th, 10th, and 11th weekend. So just about a month and a half away, I guess, from now. So you guys are really rocking and rolling, sponsoring the big races, publishing
the
magazine.
Yeah, that was amazing when that came in.
So you said it came up just in conversation in your kennel. You know, I'm sure as a musher, you've picked up a copy or two of Mushing Magazine over the years and some of the other small
stack of them.
Oh, yeah. I have stacks and stacks of those magazines. And for a long time, that was really the only place where people could go to read about, you know, in-depth stories about other mushers and equipment and that sort of thing. And that's sort of what you guys are doing, but you've taken a little bit more, a different approach, and you're having people from all over the country write in your magazine, aren't you?
All over the world.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about it. I know it came on very quickly. Do you have a history in writing and publishing, or is this new to you? I know that Bob has quite a bit of experience in it. What were you thinking? I'm sure that as a musher, you weren't ready to tackle a huge task like this as we head into the mushing season.
Yeah, I've spent more hours at the computer than I care to admit.
Of course.
Well, honestly, it first came up, Bob came to a couple of races this past winter, and you know, I was telling people how much the sport has seemed to decline in the last 10 years. I did a lot of racing 10 years ago, and it seemed like, I don't know if it was just because I was younger and smaller, but it seemed like there were 50, 75, 100 teams at these races, and huge sponsors and a lot of community effort to make these things happen. And it just seems like all of that had really declined. So the whole idea was to try to reboost the sport here in New England. And
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Colby.
No, it's okay.
How is the mushing scene in New England? Is it still pretty vibrant? I'm thinking way back in history with Arthur Walden and all those guys, you know, back in the early parts of the 1900s. How is it now compared to what it was, you know, with all that rich history?
Well, I mean, there's still a good handful of races. In fact, this year seems to be pretty well booked, almost a race every weekend between the two clubs here in the state. But year I'm not going to be here.
Right.
But just as far as like the amount of teams participating, that's what has seemed to really go downhill. And the open class is gone. I didn't see one race last year where there was an open class, and that was a big deal 10 years ago.
So for folks that are new to mushing or just casual fans, what is an open race?
An open race is you can hook up an unlimited amount of dogs to your sled, and the course is generally 15, 20 miles or more, and which is significant for a sprint race because usually like the 4 and 6 dog classes are, well, 4 and 6 miles or thereabouts. So the people that want to hook up more dogs and do more mileage don't really have that opportunity as much anymore in the sprint world.
Right. And is it of your impression that that both sprint and distance races there in New England have seen declining numbers? You know, up here in Alaska, I'm sure you're very aware of it in terms of your research for your magazine, but every one of our races, all of our qualifiers, filled up literally in a half an hour.
I saw how fast the Copper Basin filled up. I think it was 8 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, and I was sitting there at midnight, you know, with PayPal number in hand, ready to do it, and 8 minutes for I believe it's a 40-team field. That is just amazing to me.
Yeah.
How fast these races fill up, and you know, like I said, things are doing well up here, but you know, down in the States, I just don't know. You know, recently so many races have been canceled for, you know, lack of snow and that sort of thing. I'm thinking about the Bear Grease and things like that gets canceled quite often because of weather conditions. What do you think about that in terms of weather and mushing as we see it today?
There were a few races here last year that had to either get moved around and or canceled. The winters seem to be pretty crazy. They're either very extreme or the opposite. Either
right.
Just cold and no snow, or you get piled with snow. Not
right.
Quite like Buffalo, but...
I don't think anywhere is like Buffalo, with the exception of maybe Valdez here in Alaska. Man, what a dump of snow they got just recently. Do you guys have a pretty big dry land or kart racing mushing scene there in New England, or is that still new to folks?
Well, 10 years ago, there were a handful that I went to, and I kind of took a break and did my own thing for a few years in between there, and just recently got back into mushing last year. But this year we had a very successful dryland event that my mother actually put on in Waterville, which
wow.
is just outside of Augusta. And we had teams come from Canada and all over the country. Well, not all over, but a fair amount of places from around the country. It was a pretty big deal. It was a great race.
So I assume that you're a sprint musher then. Is that right, Colby?
Yep.
So what got you into mushing? I know we're kind of jumping around here. I definitely wanted to talk about the sled dogger, then, of course, the mushing scene there in New England. But what got you into mushing? Was it a family thing or just one of those things where you got a couple
funny,
of dogs
really.
And there you go?
And I think it was 1994, my mother and I got two Malamutes and didn't really know anything about the sport, didn't know there were clubs, didn't know that anybody else even did this, let alone in Maine, like anywhere. You know, we just kind of fell into it that way and made a homemade sled with a pair of skis and a chair. And
very cool.
Yeah. And now my mother runs a kennel of 35 dogs in Augusta and does tours and races when she can. But I recently got 12 dogs from her and have my own kennel here in Raymond.
Very cool. What type of dogs do you run? Are you running more of the hound type or more of the husky type?
I think just about all of them are a mix of some sort, even if it's 75% Alaska and 25% hound. But there are six that are very houndy. And the Alaskans, I don't know. I mean, I love the hounds, but the Alaskans, there is a special place in my heart for them.
It's that mushing mystique
it's,
when you think about a sled
yeah,
dog.
It's just
that
their look,
that husky
their
look.
Attitude. The hounds seem to be a little bit more crazy and don't
right.
focus. I mean, they're hunting dogs, really, so I understand going off the trail to chase a butterfly.
Take you down that trail relatively fast, won't they?
Oh, yes, they will.
So when you're out training on the trails there in Maine, Colby, we're talking to Colby Briggs tonight. He is the founder of the brand new online magazine, The Sled Dogger, and we're going to make sure we pass along a link as we move forward here. Colby, when you're training on the trails there, obviously when you have snow, you're using sleds and whatnot. What are you doing in the off season? Do you run ATVs? Do you run carts, scooters? What are you using for your mode of training down there?
Well, we have a stripped four wheeler, and my mom has a handful of rigs. Actually, one of them from CTC Dog Gear, which is a fantastic rig. I used that at one of the dryland races here a couple weeks ago, and it was phenomenal. We use scooters. My favorite is two dogs on a bike. That is my absolute favorite thing to do in the off season.
Great leader training right there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It really is.
So you're supposed to be heading up here to Alaska, and I say supposed to be, that is, if we ever get any of that snow up here. What are your plans? Are you coming up here to work with somebody or just out exploring on your own?
I am coming up to work. I am I'm going to be running Sven Haltman's tour operation in Bettles.
Well, that's really up far north. And for folks that watch Ice Road Truckers, I'm sure that they would know that area. That's always talked about or on the map, at least, when that show is going on. That's some pretty north country, isn't it?
That sure is. I don't fear for the amount of snow they're going to get or probably already have.
So do you know much about that area of the country? Do you know what you're getting into?
Yeah, I've done a considerable amount of research and bought some very warm clothes.
That is a necessity. You know, I always tell folks that are thinking about coming up to Alaska, everything that you see on the racks down there for sale in the lower 48, you might as well just leave down there because none of it is
yes.
going to work up here.
Absolutely. Fortunately, he has a lot of the gear that would have cost me hundreds, if not thousands, to buy parkas, boots, all that good stuff. But, you know, I bought wool socks, Arctic extreme weather Carhartt bibs, and things like that to bring with me.
So are you driving up? Are you flying up? Are you taking some of your dogs along with you? What's the plan there?
I am flying out of Boston on December 2nd.
A couple of weeks from now.
Yep.
So you said you're going to work with him and his tour operation. When people think of a tour operation, at least down here in the Mat-Su Valley, it's more of a off-season type deal, unless it's on a glacier or something, you know, catering to the cruise ship crowd. What type
right.
of tours do they offer up there? Is it more of a camping trip, or is it your typical 4, 5, 6 mile loop, you know, that sort of thing?
From what I've heard, the most popular adventure that people take is an hour and 45-minute trip down to Old Bettles, I believe.
Very cool.
I'm not unsure of the mileage, but he said it's about an hour and 45 minutes.
Have you done much of the tour-type mushing? It's quite a bit different than racing, is my understanding.
Right. I have. My mom, like I said, has a tour operation in Augusta, and I've helped her countless times with that, but again, that's only, you know, a mile and a half, 2 miles at a time. Families and little children who certainly don't want to go out for a half a day, so
right.
it's good to be able to offer that too. I was talking to her earlier, and it sounds like she's already booked up through March.
Wow. So mushing is alive and well, at least in terms of the tour business there in Augusta.
Yeah.
Are those typically just tourists throughout New England, or is that more of a select crowd there? Are you guys catering to one type of industry? As I mentioned, down on the glaciers, of course, it's a lot of the cruise ship traffic. Who do you guys
right.
cater to down there?
Just about everybody. She's had people come from halfway across the country just to come to her.
Wow.
But, you know, majority of the customers do come from right here in the state and probably fairly locally.
You know, it's interesting when folks get on that sled or that cart the first time, many a musher has been hooked from those little adventures, haven't they?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So what else is on your plate, Colby? What do you do... I don't know, for a real job, I guess. What's happening in you know, in your life that is outside of mushing?
Not much, really. I've pretty much been stuck here at the house working on a magazine and taking care of the dogs. As far as an occupation goes, I am a roofer and a carpenter.
And business pretty good for that in that part of the country as the, you know, the housing bust fixed itself and plenty of work for you?
Yeah, it's not bad. I've mostly just been helping out friends and family over this past year. I haven't really done too many actual jobs.
Right. So if
people
we could,
putting
Colby,
on metal roofs.
What's that?
People keep putting on metal roofs.
Yeah, that makes for repeat customers pretty slim, doesn't it?
Right.
So if we could switch gears again back to the Sled Dogger magazine, always like to ask people some behind-the-scenes stuff when we have on filmmakers and authors and that sort of thing. I know that that Bob spent quite a bit of time, Bob Donovan, the publisher of the Sled Dogger, set back a considerable amount of time to make sure that the technology was just right, so it looked appropriate, so it felt like a magazine. Can you give us some of that inside information, about what went into that, what type of decisions were made? How did you guys come about that look that you have for the magazine?
Well, Bob has a lot of experience with that particular program and software, and like you mentioned, he has been publishing for many years. And I really didn't have a lot to do with all that. I was finding stories and passing out assignments and making sure everybody knew what they were doing and on the right track.
How do you keep all those people in line? I know it was a very quick turnaround for that first issue, and even myself, I was typing and hitting that send button almost to the very end. I think it was due, midnight on the 1st, I believe, and I was writing it there on Halloween Eve as we were getting close to the deadline. How did you keep everybody in line? Because for most of these folks, they weren't accomplished writers. Most of them are just mushing folks that just want to get their message heard. Is that right?
Yep. It was honestly, it really wasn't that hard. The staff is absolutely phenomenal that we have. Everybody knew what they were doing and didn't really require much from me.
So you're also heading up the promotions end of the Sled Dogger. Where do you see this going in the next few issues? Where do you see it in a couple of years? Do you hope to get quite a bit of advertisers? Are you looking to, I know it's brand new, but are you looking to see it grow or advance from what it is right now? I mean, it's a huge issue now, well over, close to 200 pages, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it ended up being 178.
Wow.
But there were a lot of extra pages in that won't be there in future issues, like introducing the column writers and filler pages where advertisements can go. A lot of those aren't going to be there.
Do you see it evolving into, like an iPad app or something like that? Nowadays, typical publishing, I think magazines in terms of going to the Walgreens or something is kind of going the way of the dinosaur. I think the way to go is having that digital content, don't you think?
Right. Yeah, that's one cool thing about it is that people can access the magazine and get the magazine on their mobile devices.
Right. And that's how I read through the entire thing. Most of it was on my iPhone, so it was a little bit difficult reading that that small text that way. But looking at it on the computer and on my iPad, it is just amazing in the way that it's put together. Colby, we have about 5 or 6 minutes left. What else is on your mind? What do you want to promote? What do you want to talk about? Do you have any sponsors for your team? This is your show. Let's talk about what you want.
You know what I really want? I want December 2nd to come tomorrow.
Yes, heading on up here to Alaska.
That is about the only thing on my mind right now that the debut issue is out. I've spent the last few days trying to organize things for issue 2 before I leave to help Bob out, because from what I hear, the internet's a little spotty up there in Bettles, which is understandable.
Sure. So this is a definitely an adventure coming up for you. What's the plan after that? Are you heading back in the spring, in the summer? How long is your trip up here?
I'm going to be up there for about 4 months. I'm coming back. The job's supposed to end around early April, I believe. And come back to Maine and get my trails here ready at the house so I can do my tour operation next winter. that was the plan for this winter, but this was an opportunity I absolutely could not pass up.
Yeah, I wish you all the best when you're heading up that way. And, of course, if you have that Internet access, we'll follow along on Facebook or possibly have that article in the Sled Dogger magazine. So for folks that are looking forward to reading the issues of the Sled Dogger, I know it's going to be a quarterly magazine. Do you have any idea of when the next one is coming out?
It'll be mid-February.
Mid-February. And,
yep.
You know, when you guys started this magazine, I remember in the very beginning stages, it said something about talking about mushing in New England. But now that you have a staff literally from all over the world, including folks like Lance Mackey and some of the big names in the sport, it's now evolved, I assume, into a world-encompassing type mushing magazine. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. The original goal when we were talking about it was just to kind of boost the sport and bring mushers together here in our neck of the woods. But as quickly as it evolved, I don't see why we can't try to do that worldwide.
You know, what also is interesting here, Colby, is all of your writers are volunteers. There is no pay for the writers. They're all doing it on their own time and their own dime,
yep.
So to speak. They're just wanting to tell their stories and to share their knowledge. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. And I think that's what makes it, you know, so much from the heart. And it's just incredible, absolutely incredible.
I admire you guys' tenacity. I admire your hard work and dedication in getting it out so quickly. And as I said at the top of the show, I am just amazed at the product that you guys produced. And I am happy to be a part of it. And I'm sure that folks that are listening, when they have the link, they will be able to take a look at it as well. So before we go, Colby, do you have a website for yourself or your mom's tour business, or can they find you on Facebook or what?
Yep, I have a Facebook page that is, let me start with my mom's because my name kind of runs off hers. She has Haywood Kennel Sled Dog Adventures, and mine is called Haywood Kennel 2, T-O-O. Not really. It was just easier to kind of branch off than to make my own name. And, you know, we can share business. If people contact me from further north in the state, I can direct them to her and vice versa for people that come from more south.
And the website for the Sled Dogger, is that thesleddogger.com? Is that correct?
Yep, that is right.
And they
and,
do also have
there are links
Facebook.
All over Facebook, and especially
yes,
on that page for the magazine itself.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's all over the place there, the links for the Sled Dogger. So, Colby, I hope you do well up here in Alaska, and enjoy your adventure while you're up here. I'm sure you'll have stories to tell and maybe some advice to bring back to make that operation even that much better there in the state of Maine.
Yep.
If you guys are booked up through March, you guys are obviously doing something right and doing something very well for business to be good as it is. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Colby, and I'll make sure that I pass along.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I'll make sure I pass along some links over your way so you can share this show with your friends and fans. And, of course, if we have any questions or comments regarding the show, I'll make sure I pass those along as well, okay?
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Colby Briggs calling in from Maine. He is the founder and assignment editor, I guess it would be, for the brand new The Sled Dogger online magazine. We'll make sure that we pass along some links for that as well. Colby, have a good trip, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. See you guys next time. Goodbye.